Karen Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. In this installment, Yogi tries to score some points with a bright idea that he comes up with. Chapter 23. An idea catches the bus. A desire to do and please. A bumpy plan gets down, takes chai at the workshop. Chatter and more chai, the sound of whittling wood. A call to Bridgepile Chauhan, the white car pulling up. Yes, glad to serve. Talk and wobbling heads, eyebrows twitching with code. A favour called in by Barhai. A phone dialed to the depot. The day after, coming. Be ready, arriving late. The bright idea says, thank you. No mention, it is our duty. The bright idea nods and runs to ride the manic bus, happily back to the village.
So, you agreed to this, not asking me? Trust me, honey, I was thinking of the kids. At 10 a.m., idling to a standstill, the hire bus arrived. Kids piled headfirst and fought for front row seats, but were expelled from madams and yogis' first-class privileges with cracked upholstery and lumpy inner padding. Barhai had come through, and so now all turned and steered ahead to Hastinapur.
Passing a tall swastika shrine, they dodged depressions and decay. Gears clunked down a snaking vine, horn trumpeting, get out of my way. The modern Ganges, river of tar, of wobbly cycles, motorbikes, tempo, truck, three-wheeler, car, went short distance or on long hikes, while women sat and spread out grain and husked it via the tire's zoom, or farm boys snatched stray columns of cane from a bouncing tractor trolley's boom hitting a pothole. The school kids shoved, pushing harder with each bus swerve. Around some bend awaits the beloved, the angel of death, eager to serve. Yogi remembered the coasts of long white sand, taking greyhound buses up Coffs Harbour way.
Those long stretches of black snake, then a turn revealing coastal blue, some sweeping cliff with seabirds like confetti above the spume. Such road days and going alone were gone. A wife was here, and now his pulse went up, one bumping the other with each swerve of the blood-red, grinning, beetle-chewing driver. Margot sat there with her wood beads locked, her focus sidetracked by the breakneck fear of their chariot turning turtle on the road.
Love tells the fragrant round to mark time. Ennui rolls its singularity and sounds a bleating horn of thought. Watch yourself, it's out of your hands. And other beads drip saltiness despite her will. It is a test to let go hope or outside help. But why, she thinks. Don't I deserve a man to stay and give and not just take? If love is more than what is lived, where is the rest? I want the lot, not the passenger seat. And yet, I mustn't say a word or sound a note of discord. Love, let's go. Arrival. The City of Elephants. Here, revived by Pandit Nehru, 1949, to conjure a dynastic India, or author his. The City of Elephants, an emblem royal as the seal of Rajas, with scanty shops hugging to life's path, stuck like flies to commerce. A road of hopes nearby a hill, an upward jungle track, and at its base, Chauhan's ambassador car. He was waiting there to lead their winding tour to Pandeshwara Fort and its ruined stones, believed by a fisherman to be the last remaining archaeological record of Dhritarashtra, that old blind king who'd perfected misrule's art from here. The bus drove forward, following its guide, with kids psyched up and teachers fearing outbreaks of misdemeanors. They might rival monkeys leaping off the hill from tree to tree. The mock red fort still held a Shiva lingam. From Pandav time, the Swami told Chauhan, as were the snake-like roots of an ancient banyan. The children attempted reverence, filing in and out of the temple. Released, they scream away up concrete steps to view more vistas than this official site of once upon a time. As for the ruined mounds and hidden caves, all were off limits by government decree.
Ah, look, a Jaman, Chauhan alerted, alighting outside Jambu Dweep. A big one there. Eager student Kuldeep overheard and was first to fly, running toward the birds and bees in love with clumps of dangling purple. Soon, infected, others were quickly chasing. The converts to the tribe of purple tongues were rounded up to face their madam's music. The number of inky digits was too funny.
Jambu thieves, huh? Your fingerprints tell all.
Atul, thinking of his madam, opened a fist of three fat jubes.
These are for you.
Her mouth received the stolen fruit with pleasure from this lolly shop of the Jaina cosmos, with its Jambu sign embossed above the gate. The jamun's sweet and sour reminded her of backyard fruit trees in the Adelaide Hills. She missed the weeding, plucking winter lemons, Packham pears and woody apples in their prime. She remembered Paul and Adele shrouding themselves like Casper the Ghost between the strung-up bedsheets. Yogi was wandering into his marble cosmos, yet she was still an earthbound mum with a job to shepherd them through the so-called gates of heaven. Kumara ordered the children double file, Prakriti ogled, Rajinder at the back.
Chup karo, Madam told her brood. Be quiet, kids, and we will have some fun.
An ornate marble playground. The Jain universe of big fairground attractions, buildings, bridges, boat ride, lawns and lotus temples, 30 scrupulous acres managed with acumen, India's merchant elite, a salute to Jain know-how. No primal sculpture story, no end of the concert bang, paneled halls, life episodes, kings renouncing thrones, carved friezes, gilt-edged paintings, worldly duties concluded, shedding cotton loincloths to seek forest moksha. Human end, divine start, 24 Tirthankaras, elevated Siddhas, Buddhas, the invisible Jain deities worshipped with coconuts sculpted in lotus pose, standing bolt upright, naked, children giggling and pointing at their marble genitalia. A gondola ride around the universe, upon the circular moat of Jambu Dweep. Foreign Margo was glad to play wet nurse to her Jaman thieves.
The water isn't deep, said Atul, perched proud beside his madam.
Three flat-bottomed boats skimmed 360 degrees, a convoy of innocents far too young to fathom any old Hindu or Jain cosmologies.
Meanwhile, Chauhan led Yogi up the tower, a pinkish marble Meiru, cosmic mystique, 101 feet high, the banister guiding hands inside to the Parvat peak. Inside, three Tirthankaras in lotus bliss. Below, Jain world, on earth, a marble kiss. Now where's Yogi?
Atul, the sparrowhawk, aerial perspicacious eyes replied.
In there, pointing to a marble structure. Teen Lok Rachna, madam, I read the sign.
Three lokas, worlds, below, between, above. An elevator round trip, 10 rupees.
Starting in hell, green ghouls, shit-brown demons, torturers wielding clubs among the tortured pot-bellied devils in miniature, leering on.
The next button, push for Madhyalok, a carnival-coloured here, a middle world, among the wish-fulfilling Jamun trees, toy gods, kings, people, tigers, birds.
Level 3 to Gold Throne Siddha Souls, then highest Tirthankaras in a lotus cup.
Godsmacked kids thought this the ultimate doll shop of all play dreams, perhaps. Prakriti gasped, concerned for her romantic future. Yogi and Chauhan had looked and left.
Shall we take tea, Yogi?
Asked Chauhan, nodding ahead to Kumara, herding kids to and from the tractor elephant.
They will know to find us at the tea stall.
What about Margot? We can't just up and leave, said Yogi. We brought them here.
It was the first time he'd given her a thought.
Don't worry, coaxed the Garamuk Teshwara man.
The children are playing. Yogi wasn't certain, but felt tired with so many temples still waiting.
I never thought of Hastinapur quite like this. A seat of warriors, now the seat of saints. From the age of Holocaust to non-violence.
Chauhan walked him through the ornate gate, the metal jumbo wired green above. They weave through blaring buses, car horns, scooters to a waiting fruit box tea stall opposite. The teawalla pumped his kerosene stove to jet heat, hard-boiled, sickly, milky chai. Yogi looked out for Margot and the kids, still riding the elephant tractor and a demon train. Chauhan was talking about some future plan with he and Varhai. But Yogi was distracted. He glanced across the road to Jambu Dweep. Why did he feel that he had missed his chance? Then he saw Margot looking. She didn't wave.
You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode.